Steve, happy Monday. How's it going?
Really good, man. Back in the office here. I had a out of the office Thursday and Friday last week. My wife's brother was getting married over in Laramie, Wyoming. So spent a few days over there. Got some hikes in. Actually went and did their football stadium steps one day with a 60-pound pack. Made sure it, like, went up and down every single step, and that was one hell of a workout, man.
Yeah. How
I
long did
would
that take you, time-wise?
an hour maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't track it. I didn't track it.
Somewhere in there.
But yeah, it was good. That was another one that, like, that was a surprisingly really good workout. And I imagine a lot of guys all over the country got a football stadium somewhere, even if it's a high school stadium. Man, just up and down every single step with some weighted packs. That's pretty dang good practice for September.
Yeah. So the last two times you've gone out of town, you sent me pack or sent me pictures of you training with the pack. So guys are going to be curious now. How are you finding weight? What are you doing to load up the pack when you're out of town?
That's funny because I just stole a sandbag from a construction site. No,
Gosh, last time we talked about stealing from Starbucks, now we're stealing from construction sites. Don't listen to the Monday Minute.
no, yeah, I was literally like walking to the football stadium, and there was a construction site, and it was a Saturday morning, and nobody was around, and there was just a bunch of sandbags where they were like building a temporary fence, you know. I just grabbed one, threw it in the pack real quick, and I dropped it back off on Sunday morning before we left.
You
But
didn't steal it, you borrowed it.
yeah, I borrowed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got very creative that way, I guess. And yeah, I mean, I've used sandbags, I've used rocks. The heck, there's even one time I think I just like had like a 3,500 bag with me, and I stuffed all the heavy clothes that we had packed on that trip, you know, like crap, dug into my wife's suitcase, and just, you know, you could get a pack 40, 50 pounds pretty quick. By throwing in a lot of stuff. So, it's pretty easy to improvise, and no excuses, man. It's August. You gotta be training and getting ready.
Yeah. And even if you can't steal from a construction site, most places you're going to be going on vacation, especially if it's a family vacation, there's got to be some sort of home improvement store around. Like you can go to Home Depot and buy sand for $3, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Before we dive into a question on this one, just want to throw out the reminder that it's the last week for the In My XO giveaway. So if you guys haven't checked that out yet, or you did check it out, but you didn't put your photo or your video together, do it this week. Entries are closing Sunday night at midnight, and then we'll start picking some winners on Monday. Prizes being the quilt from Katabatic Gear, custom Benchmade knife, First Light clothing, and more. So again, just go check that out. Just go to exomountaingear.com/inmyxo. You'll get all the details, find out how you can enter and participate in that fun giveaway. Speaking of In My XO, we actually are coming out with our version of the What's in My Pack series. So mine is up just now, actually put it up late last week for an elk hunt upcoming. If you want to kind of see all the details, all the gear I'm using, Steve, you're shooting yours today. And I'm saying that to both remind you and put you on the hook now that thousands of people are hearing this.
Yep.
So Steve's shooting his, Lenny, I know, is shooting his. So the whole idea is that this week, and again, we're saying this is the goal, right? Is to have the three of us from XO Mountain Gear have our What's in My Pack gear list and videos published. Just a heads up to the podcast folks, if you only listen to this podcast, you might not be catching all the content that's coming out because we don't talk about everything in the show. But one surefire way to catch everything is basically to sign up for our newsletter if you haven't done that. And in the newsletter, you know, we might mention a podcast that's coming out, but we're also going to include videos and articles and, you know, other relevant things like contests and all that good stuff. So if you want to be sure that you kind of see those videos as they come and all that, just sign up for the newsletter. We don't send a bunch of junk, but just try and send out good content. But yeah, go for the XO crew to see what we're carrying this year. Go check out those videos. Steve, is there one thing that sticks out in your mind that's different this year than previous years for you?
I am trying out that new Aquamira filter, the water filter.
Oh, okay.
So that's definitely going to be a departure from the Sawyer, but obviously a very similar system. So I don't, you know, it's one of those deals that time will tell. You just flat out until you use it and clog it and, you know, filter nasty water, stuff like that. You're not really going to know how it performs. So just get out and use it for, you know, I'll definitely, like, one of those scenarios where sometimes I'll try something and I'll have my old standby, like, in the tote back of the truck. So if that filter, like, gets clogged and just flat out doesn't perform after 2 days, I can at least, you know, not have my hunt be ruined.
Yeah.
That's about it, man. I mean, everything's so stinking dialed. I'm trying a few different variations of things. I ordered, like, an ultra light, actually Enlighten equipment quilt that I wanted to test out. And then sleeping pad, I still haven't decided. Fortunately, from our review we did, I got like 3 or 4 of those things laying around, and I'll probably grab a couple of them and try them out. But the gear list is pretty dialed. Got some new clothes from First Light, some of their new stuff. Definitely super excited to put that on and test it out. They've, in my opinion, had a nice jump in kind of quality and fit and finish of the product this year, from what I could tell. And I'm excited to use that in the field and see how it performs.
Yeah, for sure. Likewise. Awesome. The full show this week coming out on Wednesday is with, I would say, a fan favorite, just based on feedback that we've gotten from previous episodes and looking at downloads numbers on these episodes, and it's Paul the Elk Nut Medell. So we recorded with Paul just last week and thought, you know, going into opening day, everybody wants to kind of hear from Paul. If nothing else, it's just like fun. It's inspiring to hear him talk about elk hunting, and there's certainly so much information jam-packed in there. And every time we get Paul on, it's one of those deals where I go into the episode with a ton of questions, but once you get him going, man, he just goes, and he just has so much good stuff to share. I feel like in this episode, I got to maybe 10% of the questions I wanted to ask him, but at the same time, we also got like 200% of the content out of it that I was, you know, kind of hoping for. Yeah. So it's a long, fun, good one for sure.
Paul makes me feel like I'm a kid in preschool when it comes to elk hunting. Once he starts talking about, I mean, just all the difference. I mean, I think I hear an elk sound and I just kind of get excited and go, ooh, elk. And I don't really like analyze what they're saying, what they're doing. And it's freaking crazy. I wish I'm going to go back and listen to that episode and have a notepad, probably 6 notepads, because there's so much information in there, and you're gonna have to listen to it 2 or 3 times and just take notes and write everything down and go out there and you know, I'm looking forward to putting to use some of the stuff he mentions in that podcast, because it's some really, really good information.
Yeah, I will say this, the because I actually talked to Paul before my first elk hunt ever. I called him, and when I talked to him then, I got good information, but then at the same time, there's like so much that I didn't get. And I'd say that over the years, the more experience I have elk hunting, the more what he says makes sense. And that isn't to say that what he's saying has to be over your head, but I will say that even in this last one we just recorded with him, when he was talking about certain elk vocalizations and certain things that bulls are essentially saying by their vocalizations, it brought me back to experiences where I've heard that exact vocalization in the field. And kind of the scenario that he was laying out is essentially what happened. And so for me, it's like connecting the dots between these scenarios and the stories that he tells versus now in the field experience that I've had. And it helps the big picture kind of come together, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we had a listener question, Steve. I won't read the whole thing, but basically let's pull out some nuggets from this paragraph. He's saying he started getting into the backcountry bow hunting scene back in 2015, and you know, all the advice was you have to go deep into the backcountry to avoid pressure and find undisturbed animals. But then he was kind of saying that now in 2018 it seems like things are coming full circle, and he's hearing more and more people say you don't have to go deep, you just need to find underutilized areas and get away from things like major trailhead systems. So, you know, maybe you're going 6 miles deep, but if you're on a major trail, that's not good. Maybe you should just go a mile deep and not use a trail. So he's kind of setting up this, do you have to go deep or not? What are your kind of thoughts on that topic in general?
Yeah, I would say I don't think it's actually changed. He's saying, you know, coming full circle, maybe the advice, or maybe people are actually willing to talk about a few of the places that they hunt more. But you know, give out some more information of their secret spots. But yeah, I mean, we've definitely talked about it. I know since for quite a few years of some of our best spots are truly like off the side of the highway. Definitely avoid that. Like, I guess anytime I've ever picked out a place on the map and then where it's like, you know, end of the road, or, you know, pavement road, gravel road, nasty four-wheel drive road, and then there's a trailhead, there's always freaking trucks at that trailhead. For whatever reason, I think it's just human nature, instinct to think the further you're going to get away, the better. And I think everyone else thinks the same, and you kind of end up with a trailhead with a lot of rigs. So if you can find those places that are off, kind of, you know, not super obvious, find a good basin that maybe you got to climb like over 1,000-foot ridge up and down to get kind of into it. Those can be really, really good spots. Not that the end of the road spot can't be good, because typically it is going to be good. You just got more hunting pressure in that area. And it depends on, you know, if I was going early season, maybe I wouldn't be as leery of that. But maybe if you went the end of September, realize that maybe if there were a bunch of elk at that end of the trailhead spot, maybe find a place that's like 3-4 miles away that a bunch of elk could have got pushed into and hunt that. So, yeah, I just think, you know, you can't ever replace boots on the ground, getting out there and experiencing new country. And, you know, don't overlook those kind of spots that everybody else might be overlooking.
Yeah. So the second part of his question has to do with essentially this, and I'm paraphrasing, but the nice thing about, you know, going to a trailhead and then maybe taking the trail back in is it's an established place. You're parking here, you're dropping off. So these spots where you kind of mentioned, Steve, maybe it's right off the side of the highway, or maybe it's a Forest Service road, but not at a trailhead, not at a parking lot. You just want to go, you know, cross this creek and go up over this ridge, and you're just a mile in, but you're in a good country. What are the concerns from like a legality, safety, security perspective of just dropping a rig wherever and then taking off from there? Like, how do you know if you can park there? Do you ever worry about leaving your vehicle there and, you know, stuff getting broken into? Like, what should somebody be thinking in those scenarios? Especially if, you know, there's so many guys that listen to this that are picking out places they can't get to ahead of time.
Right. I guess, yeah, as far as parking there, I would just be, you know, it's usually pretty clear, at least here in Idaho and some of the states I've hunted, if you're on private land or national forest land or BLM or whatever. So obviously if you're national forest and BLM, you can just kind of park wherever and go. I definitely think, you know, you can almost have two schools of thought on parking your vehicle. Like if you have it, you know, we always try to hide our vehicles just because I think enough people maybe know us, maybe recognize the vehicle. And we just, you know, we're obviously trying to be as covert as possible and not let everybody know where we hunt. So Steve, we try to hide them.
Steve drives a yellow Prius, just for the listeners who don't know. That's why everybody knows his vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually a silver Ford Focus. my gas mobile. But yeah, so we definitely try to hide. So I would, you know, I know a good friend of mine that he hunts a spot off the highway, but he'll actually go and park about a mile down the road from it. And he'll only do this at night. He'll park way down the road, it'll pull out, and then hike back down with like no headlamps so nobody could see him. Like he's too afraid to do it during daylight. Because it's, you know, people travel that highway and it could definitely get spotted pretty easily. Yeah, as far as, I'm trying to think whatever, definitely, I guess on the two different schools of thought is if your vehicle is exposed, you know, it's maybe, if someone does want to break into it, they got to be worried about like traffic going by it and possibly getting caught, like breaking the window. And then on the other hand, if it's hidden, you know, obviously less chance of someone finding it, but if they do find it, it's probably pretty private and hidden and they can just break a window and kind of rummage through your whole truck. So definitely a concern. I've never had it happen to me. I know people that it's happened to, and it sucks that there's people out there that would do that. And especially if you're, you know, doing what we kind of preach about having a tote with backup gear, you're going to have, you know, a decent amount of dollars sitting in that truck, just, you know, as spares. So it sucks, but I really don't know what else to do, right? I mean, it is what it is. You could have a safe in the back of the truck and bolt it to the bed of your truck and lock everything in there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I was thinking through is just what you said in terms of find the hunting spot first and don't even worry about parking. Like, figure out where you want to take off, but then don't think that you have to park where you want to take off. And almost, you know, cruise up and down that road, whether you're in Google Earth or Onyx Maps, and find a pullout that's hopefully within reasonable distance, because it's good things. One is you're using an actual pullout or some sort of, you know, kind of informal parking area. And then two is you're not sending the signal that I'm going to park here and I'm heading off right here, like into this hunting terrain. So just keep that in mind too. Like, don't be opposed to hiking up or down that road a little bit as necessary before you dive off into the super secret spot that you're hoping to find some awesome critters.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Well, guys, thank you for tuning into this Monday Minute. Once again, make sure you go hit subscribe if you're not already to get future episodes, including this one coming up from Paul, the Elk Nut Medell. As always, appreciate your feedback, appreciate you tuning in. You can contact us directly with a question or any sort of comments or feedback with email to podcast@exomountaingear.com. Don't forget, enter that In My Exo giveaway, and we'll talk to you next week.